Let's get spooky.
Yes, it is spooky season. We love Halloween here on Culture Shift. Okay.
So
right. I'm obsessed with this topic.
It is a great topic. It's so much fun. So a couple of weeks ago, I shared a story that I had come across in doing a little bit of research about this topic. And this is video game urban legends. And we talked about Michael Jackson actually composing bits of the soundtrack for Sonic 3. So I wanted to talk about some of the spookier urban legends that surround video games. And so to do that, I have brought in one of my very favorite storytellers, Callie Sloan. She is a professional dungeon master and does incredible work telling stories on the spot, on the fly. And I've brought her here to tell us some of the amazing video game based urban legends. Callie.
If you were on a school playground in the 90s, perhaps you heard about this one, Kill Switch, a game that supposedly existed in the late 1980s. The common tale was that someone's older brother had the game, but once they beat it, the game stopped working.
Ooh.
Supposedly created by the Carvina Corporation, they are said to have created only 5,000 copies of it. The game itself saw you control one of two characters, either a demon named Ghast or a woman named Porto. Ghast was an invisible, fire-breathing mass that was so difficult to control that players would inevitably try to play as Porto instead. There, they would find an entirely new game, controlling a woman with no combat abilities and guiding them through a creepy, gray-scaled, abandoned mining facility. Upon escaping the facility, the screen would turn white as a demonic voice sounded, and then the cartridge would delete all files, rendering it useless. Of course, no proof of the game exists anymore, nor does any evidence of Carvina Corporation ever having been real, but perhaps an unplayed copy lies waiting in someone's basement.
You want to know what I love about this story? My favorite thing about this story is that it relies on this kind of like old trope that I think everyone grew up with. Maybe this was an experience, but like, on the playground, you would always have that one kid who's like, my uncle works at Nintendo and I got a Nintendo, an NES copy of Zelda 3. And it's like nothing like that exists. But, you know, there was an era where it was semi-believable, or at least it wasn't easy to completely debunk it on its face.
Yeah, this is okay. This intersection here of games and urban legends and the spookier side of this is so cool because it's technology, it's being a kid, it's all the rumors of being a kid. You know,
yeah.
It's like, what does this remind me of, like, is like, you know, in the playground, you'd be like, oh, if you go to that house at 11 o'clock at night and you look in the window, you will see the ghost of blah, blah, blah. You know, but the other element to this is that you know, gaming takes you into this other world already. Mm-hmm. And these ideas of like, you could get lost in those worlds.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's the gaming equivalent of Bloody Mary, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Or Candyman.
Well, what's better than a game supposedly existing that maybe doesn't? How about a game that is a secret government psyop to help brainwash young people into sleeper agents?
Sounds like MK Ultra.
Of course, it seems ridiculous, but to this day, people will tell you that they remember Polybius arcade units from their childhood. The story goes that in Portland, Oregon, in the 1980s, a number of arcades saw the introduction of a new game called Polybius. The puzzle shooter, which featured some strange strobing effects and twisty imagery, became unusually popular for a title that had no marketing leading up to it. In fact, lines to play the game supposedly became problematic, as acquiring more copies of the cabinet was impossible. Then the rumors began popping up. Hallucinations, strange amnesiac episodes, and even more sinister problems all became tied to the supposed Polybius machine. Of course, no Polybius machine has ever been found, and video evidence of their existence is sketchy at best. But the government would never be able to pull off anything like this and keep it secret, right?
This is like watching one of those the YouTube channels, the haunted YouTube channels, you know, the ones about like not just urban legends, but like ghost stories and stuff, watching it live. So this is this is amazing for me right now.
Yes,
Callie,
absolutely. And again, what I love about this is the government experiment that is sort of tied to this, like MK Ultra, where, you know, you play a video game and then you're forever changed.
Right.
I think that, you know, when video games were new, when arcades were kind of a newer phenomenon, this was a lot easier to believe because you didn't really know what all of these different flashing bits were doing.
Right. And not to mention, we're right at the beginning of the satanic panic at this point.
That's true.
And like everything that your kids are into is turning them into the devil at this time.
That's very true. But, you know, it's funny because I have met people who have sworn to me,
oh, yeah,
sworn to me that not only have they seen a Polybius machine, but they've played it. So, you know, it's one that continues to propagate just through the stories of it alone.
Well, I mean, now we're talking also bringing the Matrix here, bringing the Matrix film. You know, he's playing, well, he's not playing a game per se, but he's on it and he's brought into that world, mm-hmm, through technology, through the screen. Again, we're down the one update right now on Culture Shift. We're talking to our own Nate Bender, longtime gaming journalist, and Callie Scales, who is reading some fantastic stories for us, rumors from the internet about cursed video games and haunted video games and other urban legends.
So I have a request for the next story. I want to learn about Ratman.
Of course. Well, if you've ever played Grand Theft Auto 4, you're probably aware that it boasts one of the more compelling narratives of the series and also one of the most detailed worlds so far. But those of you who have spent an abnormal amount of time in the subways beneath Liberty City may have encountered something far more sinister. Half man, half rat, all monster. It's said this fiend can move at incredible speeds through the dimly lit sewers and will scream its name as it attacks you from out of nowhere. No evidence of it exists, and save for the alarming number of people who claim to have been jump-scared out of their minds by it, but maybe you'll think twice before you wander the subways next time.
I have spent an inordinate amount of time playing Grand Theft Auto 4. I think that's probably, out of all of the Grand Theft Auto games, the game that I have the most time plugged into. I'm very well acquainted with the subway passages. I have never once encountered Ratman, and now I'm a little terrified to go back.
That's the thing, is it's like the classic jump scare videos where now you're a little nervous every time you go down there. It's going to be different for you.
So I just want to talk about something really, really quickly because, you know, there has been a change in the way that sort of video game urban legends are being told because, it used to be very much like what we're doing here. We're talking about a story that someone maybe had told you on, you know, the playground or, you know, at lunch, at school. And, you know, we understand sort of how these stories propagate. But the modern version, right, of this requires a lot more footwork, a lot more creativity, and just a lot more effort.
Right. We live in the Twitch and YouTube era, and
yeah,
now it's Pixar, it didn't happen.
Yes.
You have to be able to show. But the other side of that is now people are creating videos that show these theoretical games, and now we're left to decide, is this a real video, or is it just something that someone made?
You know, I've seen things on the technology behind, you know, these games that you might find online, these weird things. It's so good. You can have subliminal messaging. We haven't gotten into that. Subliminal messaging in some of these games and the audio of it. And I've noticed that when I've spent a lot of time on ghost channels on YouTube. I'm embarrassed to admit so much of it. But yeah, I've seen things like that. So it's interesting you mention that because the technology is changing, yet the maybe desire or just the idea that there is something hidden behind what we're seeing is still there.
I mean, we always want to try to seek out the spooky, the paranormal, the interesting, the weird, and I think that this isn't just an extension of that. This is sort of the modern interactive extension of that. And you know, when checking out something like Petscop, which is sort of what we've been talking about, a gaming urban legend where someone went to the extra effort to create an what looks like a game around it and, right, distribute it through YouTube, you know, there's there's this extra layer of creativity that that almost has to come with it in order to hit on the believability aspect of what we're talking about.
Not to mention an entire genre of video games that are meant to look like one of these stories, where you start playing what looks like a normal game only for it to take a sinister turn.
Five Nights at Freddy's is not unlike that. And
yes,
that Five Nights at Freddy's is being turned into a movie. I mean, we're seeing the trailers now as we speak.
Books for it.
It has become an entire genre unto itself. And it's sort of that, you know, Amanda, as you had mentioned, that sort of Matrix effect, where someone is the creator behind these really, really creative ventures, is trying to reach through the screen and very creatively touch you and make you feel something. And, you know, I think you got to really be able to appreciate that level of creativity, especially now in 2023, where it's harder than ever to make somebody buy into something or believe in something.
Yeah, and I bring up a couple years ago, I think 2018 or so, for folks who are not gamers, but maybe you're fans of sci-fi or spooky stuff. Remember Bandersnatch from Black Mirror, the creators of Black Mirror?
Yeah.
That was a choose-your-own-adventure Netflix show based on a character, protagonist who is creating a video game who ends up losing his mind, basically.
There's going to be someone, maybe they're listening right now, maybe they're very young, but they're going to figure out how to combine all of these different pieces of technology to be able to tell a story that is inordinately scary. And I'm really excited for the day that happens. Like, think of, like, you know, Blair Witch to the next level, that you're able to kind of reach through that screen and make somebody believe or make somebody feel that fear. I mean, I think that's why we all go see scary movies. That's why we all love Halloween. That's why we all are able to really get into this type of this time of year.
And we haven't even brought up VR and possibilities of Oculus and the possibilities of sound and things and all those that input, that data coming in visually,
yes,
to actually make your body feel like you are being chased by a monster or whatever.
I think, too, you know, we've seen this explosion of AI. How long is it going to be before someone has the thought of planting an AI inside of a video game that's going to screw with you while you're playing?
Oh.
I never
and trying to make
that.
Something like this happen.
You know what? Yes, you're going to be able to bury code so deep inside of, you know, a 100 gig game that, you know, you could dig for years and never be able to find that one piece of code. But it leads to this experience that just reaches through the video game and touches you. And I think that's what makes video gaming, that's what makes media, that's what makes fun, scary media really, just a joy to engage with.
Question for you both. Last question. What's your favorite scary game?
Ooh, good question. Callie, do you have an answer?
I really enjoy a lot of the classics. I like the Resident Evil series an awful lot, but I think Outlast is the one that scared me the most and that I was still able to get through it.
Is there a game you would not play at night by yourself?
Yeah, there was a game in the 2000s called Eternal Darkness, which was one of those games that was kind of designed to screw with you. Like, you'd play and it would, like, have your volume, like, start shifting up and down or look like it was.
It would make you believe that it deleted your save file.
Yes.
It was amazing.
That
it
game,
was really, really cool.
That game scared the bejesus out of me when I was a kid.
Alien Isolation for me. I absolutely love the Alien series.
Yes.
And to feel that tension as a xenomorph is hunting you down, there's nothing like it.
For all the bad movies, they made a good game at least.
True.
Despite how much I like spooky stuff, I actually can't watch real horror movies anymore. I can't do anything spooky, especially if I'm by myself or late at night. I'm too sensitive these days, you guys. I gotta be honest with you. Thank you so much, Callie. Thank you so much, Nate. What a fabulous episode of The One Update, talking about spooky games, horror stories, urban legends in gaming, and so much more.